Today's reading will be from John chapter 11, verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefits of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out with his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The next one will be from John chapter 19, the verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, Jesus was laid there. The chapter 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand that from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. The disciples went back to where they were staying. Amen.
Thank you, Josephine, for reading that for us. As I come to preach, let me pray for us. Sovereign Lord, we thank you that all of history is in your hands. Thank you that nothing takes you by surprise, but that you work all things to your will. Help us this morning to take a deeper look at the account recorded for us in John's Gospel. Would it grow us? Would it shape us more and more into the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus? Amen. Now, I've recently come back from holiday. Well, I say come back. We didn't really go anywhere, but you know what I mean. And over that time, Izzy and I, we got stuck into a box set, as I'm sure many of you have been doing over this particular time. But something you need to know about our viewing habits is that we tend to watch one of two things. It's either something science fiction, and yes, that's me who's caused that, or it's something to do with crime. Well, in this case, it was a crime show. It was the show Elementary. I don't know if you've seen it. And it's a show all about what would happen if Sherlock Holmes was based both in today's world and had emigrated to New York. Now, putting all the plot aside, the big thing with Sherlock Holmes is that he looks at the small details. And by looking at the small details, he's able to piece together with greater clarity the story of the situation he is looking at. By looking at the small details, Sherlock is able to understand more of the situation he is looking at. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated Easter, and we heard the Easter story from John's Gospel. And as we went through, it was interesting to see where John places the detail. Now, I reckon if we were to do an experiment, I mean, I've done one already this morning, might as well do another. If we were to write the Easter story today, we would spend a long time on the actual death of Jesus. And we'd probably spend an equal amount of time on his resurrection. But John doesn't do that. In fact, John doesn't spend long on Jesus dying, and he doesn't even tell us about the very moment that Jesus rose. That might strike you as strange. But instead, John gives us other details. And one of those details is in John chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. Let me read those verses for us. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, behind John, and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now, when you think about it, that verse is weird, isn't it? John is relatively short on the things we think matter, but he's taken two whole verses to talk about some linen. He claims to have carefully edited his book. You can see that in chapter 20, verse 30. Right at the bottom of this chapter, John says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So why include the linen comment, John? Why include the comment about the linen? And the material that John would have used to write his gospel down, well, that material was expensive. There's no royalties expected by John. The Bible wasn't the world's bestseller of all time just yet. So what's going on here? Well, what if John is saying that the linen is important? What if John hasn't just made an editing blunder and included a throwaway line? I want to make the case this morning that this particular verse in John is more important than it first appears. And by putting it here in his gospel, John is telling us something amazing. We'll see if you agree by the end of the morning. So what does John want us to grasp from these two verses? Well, I have four things to show you. The linen shows us that Jesus was really dead. Jesus is really alive. We are really forgiven. And Jesus is really victorious. Now, John is a book of the Bible. And that means that John wants us to read his book that way. Sam mentioned on Good Friday that John uses the idea of fulfillment a lot in his writing. John says that Jesus completed or fulfilled what the Old Testament said would happen. Now, let me just give a word of warning before we get going. As we look at this topic, we need to read the Bible responsibly. So just stitching together, pardon the pun, any passage about linen cloth, well, it's not the way forward. We've got to stay in line with John's hinting. Hopefully I'm going to prove to you that that is what I'm doing this morning. But the benefit of technology and of time, especially during this lockdown, is that you can spend the time looking into this more. And perhaps if you were to do that, the amazingness of Easter would strike you afresh once again. So let's have a look at those four things, shall we? Really dead, really alive, really forgiven, and really victorious. So the first of those, really dead. Jesus really was dead. At Easter, we obviously celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and we actually believe that happened. If it didn't, just think for a moment. We'd have no security. We'd have no hope. Sam talked about that on Easter Sunday. And we'd have no good news to share. As the Apostle Paul can say in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, well, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ, well, they're lost. And if so, we are of all people most to be pitied. We might as well eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So all of that goes to say that at Christchurch Hemel, we believe that Jesus really did rise again. That's a historical, that's a verifiable claim right there. And I'm happy to discuss that more with you if you would like. Just use the Contact Us page on this church website. But to believe that Jesus really came back to life means believing that he really did die. And that's the point we're looking at the moment. Now, some people actually claim that Jesus didn't die. For example, the majority view in Islam claims that Jesus was switched out. He didn't die. He didn't really die on the cross. Or some skeptics say that Jesus merely fainted and was mistaken for dead by Roman guards. But John is absolutely adamant that Jesus really did die. And our linen is important there. Now on Friday, what we celebrate as Good Friday, we're told that Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in spices and in strips of linen. Josephine just read that to us from John 19 verse 40. And John gives us an explanation right there to tell us that that was standard practice for Jewish burials at the time. It's also good practice because leaving dead bodies around can lead to some bad smells. In fact, John's already told us the story of a man named Lazarus who had died. His story was described in John 11. We had part of that read earlier. Now, Lazarus, he was a friend of Jesus, but he died. So his sisters, Mary and Martha, they'd had him buried in a tomb in exactly the same way as Jesus. Strips of linen around the body, a cloth over his face, standard Jewish burial practice. See, everyone believed that Jesus really was dead. Even the Romans who executed him. And they were experts in their field. You don't wrap living people in linen. John wants us to know Jesus really was dead. On to the second thing the linen tells us. Well, Jesus is really alive. Now, something we need to know about linen is that it's expensive. It still is today, and it definitely was back in the day of Jesus. Now, linen is made from the flax plant, and that plant takes quite a bit of maintenance to grow. And even once it's grown, well, the thread is difficult to work with. It's not like elastic, it snaps easily, and it also takes more skill to process than something like cotton. Linen is expensive. So if you were in the trade of grave robbing, you'd be after linen. So when we read John's account again, it should strike us as strange. Let me read verses 6 and 7 once more. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, and as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. See, the tomb did have something missing from it. But the thing that would have been missing, if this was grave robbers, would have been the linen. And if a robber wanted to make a speedy getaway, well, they just take the body with it. Take the linen and the body together. But John tells us that it's the other way round in this case. The body was gone, but the linen was still there. If you want to steal a body, you'd want the linen around it. The body had just been crucified. It would have been wounded and bloody. You can see the details of what happened to Jesus earlier in John's Gospel. And the effort of unwrapping a body for the linen, well, it's immense. In fact, one person who is closer to the time than we are says that the spices used would have glued linen to the body not less firmly than lead, would have glued linen to the body not less firmly than lead. To unwrap a body, well, it's not worth the effort. Plus, it would have taken time, time that would have most likely got them caught. The Romans and the religious leaders, they didn't want anything happening to this body. In fact, they were guarding it. To spend time unwrapping a body is dangerous. That's the same for a grave robber or for a disciple. All that goes to say that taking the body whilst leaving the linen behind, well, it's a dumb thing to do if you're a grave robber. So what do we do about that? Well, to quote Sherlock Holmes, when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. You see, John gives us more information that must be factored in. Just have a look at verse 7 one more time. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. You see, the linen and the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, well, they were separate from each other and were still lying in the same place. Now, I don't know how your morning routine works, but when I wake up, I make my way slowly to the shower, and that inevitably involves removing my pyjamas and getting ready for the day. Now, I can't claim to handle those pyjamas as well as I could do. In fact, some mornings it's a bit of a rush, and they just end up wherever they were removed. Or if I've taken a little bit more care, I might throw them at my pillow, ready for their next use. But John tells us here that the headcloth was separate from the linen and still lying in its place. It's as if someone had taken the time to carefully take the items off and then put them back down where they were before. This is not the work of a rushed person. This is not like a teenager or a 30-year-old in my case, getting ready in the morning. No, this is a deliberate, calm removal of grave clothes. The actions of someone who is really alive. Notice also the eyewitness detail of all of this. John says twice in these verses that the people saw what was happening. See, John wants us to take him seriously. He said so back in chapter 19, verse 35. The man, that's John himself, who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. And this description of the linen that we're looking at, it just adds to that. See, the other disciple beats Peter to the tomb, and verse 5, chapter 20, he sees the strips of linen, but he doesn't go in. Peter then goes to the tomb, and he sees the strips of linen and the headcloth. It's just a small detail, but it goes to show that this is eyewitness testimony, because you'd only be able to see the cloth by going inside. The layout of the tombs back then meant you'd only see the headcloth if you actually stepped inside the tomb. And it appears that Peter pointed this out to the other disciple, because when he went inside, the other disciple, inside the tomb, he believed. He believed that the one who previously wore these clothes is really alive. Like a pair of pyjamas, these grave clothes, they've been taken off. But unlike mine, they're placed neatly where they were before. When you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. The logical conclusion that John is pointing us to is that Jesus had removed the linen in his own time, under no pressure, and left it there for the disciples to find. Jesus is really alive. Now that's two things that the linen tells us in John 20, and perhaps two of the simplest things we can say about them. But there's more that can be said. You see, all the way through John's gospel, he's been telling us a lot about the temple and about the priests. In fact, John has been drawing a comparison throughout his gospel between Jesus and those two things. For example, at the start of John's Gospel, in John chapter 2, verse 29, or verse 19, Jesus says he will raise the temple in 3 days. Now, this temple, it's taken 46 years and many people to build. And Jesus claims to be able to rebuild it in 3 days. And John explains there that Jesus is referring to himself as the temple. And John's made many other references to that throughout his gospel account. And here, in these verses about the linen, John is continuing that theme that he's been following. But in order to see what John's doing here, we need to remember what went on in the temple. And to do that, we need to talk about priests. Now, one aspect of a priest's job was to do sacrifices. And those sacrifices were to deal with sin. There's a whole list of how these sacrifices were to work in the book of Leviticus. And once again, Jesus has been talking about himself as a sacrifice like that a priest would do, and a sacrifice that he said he would make himself. Jesus said he would lay himself down, lay down his life for his sheep, for his people. Jesus talks about himself as a priest. You can see more of that in John chapter 10. But one thing I want to draw your attention to is the small detail that the Bible gives us about what a priest was to wear. You can see it in many passages in the Bible, but I'm going to show you one in particular, one that's quite useful this morning. It's Ezekiel chapter 44. Here it is on the screen for you to see. Let me read it for us. When the priests enter the gates of the inner court, they are to wear linen clothes. They must not wear any woolen garment whilst ministering at the gates of the inner court or inside the temple. They are to wear linen turbans on their heads, garments round their waists. They must not wear anything that makes them perspire. When they go out into the outer court where the people are, they are to take off the clothes they have been ministering in and leave them in the sacred rooms and put on other clothes so the people are not consecrated through contact with their garments. You see, a priest wears linen on his head and round his body. Now remember, we have to do this responsibly. There are plenty of other people who wear linen in the Bible, but one of the people who wears linen in the Bible is the priest. And if we piece together what John has been saying throughout his gospel about Jesus being connected to the temple and to the priests, well, it all starts to come together. It wouldn't be out of character for John to be making his point again. John's comment about linen is meant to make us think priest. But what does this verse in John chapter 20 add to that picture? Just have a look at that final verse again. Ezekiel 44 verse 19 says this, a bit highlighted. When they go out into the outer court where the people are, they are to take off the clothes they have been ministering in and leave them in the sacred rooms. Once the priest was done making sacrifices and he went to see the people, he was to take off his linen and leave it behind. Isn't it interesting that straight after this in John's account, Jesus goes out and he sees his people. He goes out and he sees Mary. He goes out after that and he sees his disciples in the upper room. So John seems to be saying that Jesus, in leaving his linen behind, he's finished his job. He has finished the sacrifice. John's been building for this all the way through his book. Jesus is a priest who is laying down his life, his own life, for the sin of the world. He's going to redeem them, to rescue them, like we saw in the kids' talk. And specifically, here in John 20, he's a priest that has finished his job. He's finished the job of sacrificing for sin. He has left his linen behind. And if Jesus has really done his job, well, that means good things for us. That means there really is forgiveness through Jesus. See, that's the good news that Christianity trumpets loud for everybody to hear. The sin problem, the problem that separates us from God, has been resolved. If you're listening this morning, it can't be stated enough. In Jesus, there really is forgiveness. Jesus is the one who has made full and final peace with God. Isn't it interesting, again, that peace is what Jesus goes on to talk about with his disciples straight after this passage? You see, there's nothing that can be solved, that cannot be solved by Jesus' sacrifice. Even if you think you're the worst person, or if you think there's something you've done that can never be forgiven, the linen here shows that that is not true. That is not the case. All of your shame, all the things you've done that you just know aren't right, they're all taken and paid for by Jesus. He said earlier in John's Gospel, "It is finished." And he meant it. See, John says he wrote his Gospel so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That offer is open to everyone. Jesus has paid the debt. He's given the sacrifice, so sins can be forgiven and peace can be had right now. And Christians, you need to hear this too. See, John wrote his gospel for all people, and that includes believers, so that they may believe and have life in his name. See, guilt isn't something that just disappears the moment you become a Christian. It's not like a switch that could be flicked. Believers too struggle sometimes to know that they are forgiven. But this passage in John means we can take assurance. The great high priest, been looking at him in Hebrews in our growth groups, haven't we? The great high priest, he has paid the price for your sin. And it's been accepted. If you trust Jesus, if your trust is in Jesus, you really are forgiven. There is no doubt about it. The priest has done his job. The linen shows us that we can be really forgiven. The fourth and final thing to see with this linen is that Jesus is really victorious. Now, since the dawn of Genesis 3, that's right at the beginning of the Bible, humanity has faced a massive problem, the problem of death. And at the moment, we're particularly attuned to that, aren't we? But the good news of the resurrection is that Jesus has defeated death. And our linen, it just shows us that he is really victorious. How so? Well, once again, because it is left behind. Just hear how John says it. Peter saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. Jesus left the linen behind. Our friend Lazarus, you remember him? He came out with linen in his hand. Well, to be more precise, he came out with linen wrapped round his hands. Now, I'm sure he had a few good years, but he died again. He was under no false illusion that he was now immortal. He would need his linen once more. But Jesus, he left his grave clothes behind. Like me and my shower in the morning, I can leave my pyjamas behind because they're not needed for the day ahead. In Jesus' case, he can leave his grave clothes behind because they're not needed for the day ahead. In fact, Jesus can leave that linen behind because it will never be worn again. As one Bible commentator, a guy called Don Carson, says, "The linen had been neatly rolled up and set to one side by the one who had no longer had any use for it. The linen had been neatly rolled up and set to one side by the one who no longer had any use for it. See, as Jesus rose again, he showed he had the power over death. He had beaten death, and therefore no more burial linen was needed for him. And that battle against death, it has been won for all time. Because Jesus rose again, we can be certain that we can too. Go listen to last week's sermon if you want to hear more about that. But that event, it has rippled throughout history. See, there aren't many things that would cause us to restart our dating system, are there? It takes something really major. We won't restart it because of COVID-19. We might have a party once lockdown is over or when a vaccine is successful. But it's just another illness that is out to get us, isn't it? But we did restart our calendar because of Jesus. Because Easter was so world-shaking and history-changing. Because Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection were so major, we started our calendar again. We went back to year zero with Jesus' birth. The linen shows that Jesus is really victorious. Well, I reckon we've wrung enough drops from this linen this morning. Isn't it amazing, though, how much detail we're given in the Gospels? And did you see how this one detail tells us the gospel? It tells us the death, the resurrection, the forgiveness, and the victory that is found in Jesus. Many will pass by the story of Easter, even though it's heard on a yearly basis, let alone this comment John makes about the linen. It will go in one ear and out the other, or perhaps not even in at all. But Christians, we're in danger of doing the same thing also. We hear the story year on year, don't we? And it's easy for us to think we know it all already and just to glaze over. We see the gospel, it's such great news that it screams at us, even from the small details. Christ is alive, sin is dealt with, the sacrifice is complete. Jesus is victorious. If Jesus didn't leave that linen behind for his disciples to find, chances are you'd have never heard of him. Of course, that's because the linen points to the greater news of the risen Lord Jesus. This is just one of the many, many details in the Gospel of John. As I said, there are many, many more small details that you can investigate. Why not use the time we have right now to look into some? Or perhaps to read the Gospel of John with someone. It's even easier now because you don't have to even leave your own house to do it. Jesus' death and resurrection, they're world-changing events. World-changing events that claim to have really happened. John isn't giving us a feel-good story or just a moral example to follow. He's telling us true, factual information. And if it's true, as John claims, then it changes everything. And surely that's worth investigating. There really is good news in the gospel. There really is good news to be found in that linen. Jesus really died. Jesus really rose. We are really forgiven, and Jesus is really victorious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he fulfills all that the Old Testament pointed towards. Thank you that we can see that even in the small details of the gospel. We pray that you would not cause us to be bored by the good news of Easter. We pray that we would not skate over the details we're given in your word. But instead, Father, would we be reinvigorated and engaged in reading your word and grasping all that it means for us today. And we ask all of this in the name of our Lord, who really died, who really rose, who really forgave, and who is really victorious. Amen.